29th, College Sunday is going to be nuts. We have a big giveaway prize we're going to have. We're going to do a raffle. It's going to be awesome. We got gifts for all of our college students. So if you know a college student, you are a college student, bring a bunch of people, okay? It's going to be awesome. But anyway, my name is Ben Dew. I'm the campus or college and youth pastor here, and I have the honor of giving the word again. And if you were here last week, you heard me preach, and there's not a glitch in the matrix. I am scheduled, and so this is actually history for me. I've never, ever preached two Sundays in a row. So, Lord help me. We'll see if there's any gas left in the tank. But I kind of feel like the 96 Chicago Bulls, I feel like Michael Jordan's backup. Do you guys know who that is? Yeah, me neither. I don't know. And I feel like I'm just supposed to hold down the fort until Michael gets back. All right, so my dad was supposed to preach. He's still not feeling well, but he'll be back. And Pastor Ron is in Iowa right now, God's country, with Noah Miller, right, in the Babe Ruth World Series. So he sends his love, and also my dad does too. So we're glad you're here. So pray for me. We're going to pray, but really pray for me that I got enough in the tank to do 2 weeks in a row. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified today, and Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, you know my weaknesses, you know my strengths, and Lord, I pray that you would use me as your vessel to share whatever word you have for us. Lord, I give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Alrighty. So yeah, right, we're back to back. Like Drake, going back to back. Anyway. So let's do a little recap. That was for you, Devon. A little recap. Last week we talked about prayer. So last week we defined prayer as communicating to God. So it's really broad. Begging, petitioning, thanking, thinking, speaking, meditating. To us as believers, prayer is going to God instead of to others for our solutions. It's treating God as the answer. Prayer is seeking the person of God. It is not a religious duty. So we talked last week about personal prayer. And personal prayer is awesome because it's kind of fluid. It's between me and God, right? And you really can't really get involved in my personal prayer life with God. That's really awesome. But corporate prayer, which means prayer together, is not so. Corporate prayer does have structure. Corporate prayer does have leadership, management, intentionality. And corporate prayer is extremely important. So this morning, we're going to talk about how God calls us not just to pray in this fun, you know, romantic, awesome relationship with Him in private, but we're supposed to come together as a church, as a community, as a family, and actually pray together. All right? So in 2021, if you have any meaningful relationships or marriage, if you're married, you know that you have to be synced up and linked up with your spouse, right? So Ashley and I, we have our same Google calendars linked. We have everything that we can link up with technology is linked. So we have our GPSs turned on. She knows where I am 24/7. Right? She knows all my passcodes, all my passwords, right? So we are completely synced up, right? And we have to do that so that we know we stay on the same page. And prayer is kind of like that with God. Prayer is choosing to be linked up, synced up with God, saying, God, you've got, obviously you're managing the entire universe, but Lord, I choose to live in such a way that I can be synced up and linked up with you. And I think a lot of us, we can take prayer for granted. I know I do. I've got this amazing thing that God's given me, both personal prayer and corporate prayer, but I take it for granted. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever grown up around rich kids or wealthy kids, but sometimes they have things that they take for granted. Like I remember I had some friends who had stuff like jet skis, you know, and I'm like, you wanna go on the jet ski? They're like, ah, no. I'm like, what? You have a jet ski, or you have like this, or you have this beach house, or you have this, like, let's go. I'm like, oh, I really don't want to. You know? And I'm like, you're taking for granted this amazing things. We do this with prayer. We have open access to a holy God, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, and we have access not just personally, but corporately, and we take it for granted. So this morning, I feel like the Lord would say, I've given you this gift, don't take me for granted. Don't take it for granted. And I'll tell you this, it's going to take corporate prayer to an almighty God to handle corporate problems. It's going to take national prayer to deal with national problems. It's going to take church-wide prayer to deal with church-wide problems. And here today, we don't just have personal problems. We have church problems, we have city problems, we have state problems, we have nation problems, we have worldwide problems. And so the corporate prayer is the key to unlocking and solving corporate problems. Is this making sense? So last week, I want to touch real quick. My four final thoughts about prayer were this. So this can kind of be at the forefront. Is number one was run to God every day in prayer. Two was use prayer as a tool to grow in relationship with God. Three was pray God's will and only God's will. And number four is there is inconceivable power in prayer. So the scripture we're going to be in today, and I encourage you to get it on your phone or your paper Bible, or we have little blue Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. Please, I can see you. Everyone grab something, grab a Bible. All right, we're going to read together. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 1. All right, I will say again, I can't see you. So everyone, grab a Bible, grab a phone. Just please do it so my feelings don't get hurt. Just do it for me. All right, so 2 Chronicles 20, starting in verse 1. Give us a couple minutes to turn there. All right, starting in verse 1. And this is called Jehoshaphat defeats Moab and Ammon. Jehoshaphat, that's the name of the king of Judah at this time. And also, just a sidebar, that's a great name to name your cat or your dog or firstborn son, Jehoshaphat. And call him Fat for short. Verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Mununites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. We'll call him Jay. So he came to wage war against Jay. Verse 2, some people came and told Jay, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon, Tamar. This is En-Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat, Jay, resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. All right. So at this time in Israel, the nation of Israel was broken into two. There was the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, Jay was the king of Judah. And there was this massive army. Two of the biggest superpowers in the region were coming, and they were going to mess up Judah. They were going to come conquer it, and it was not going to be good. So this was a national crisis. This was a national issue. And one thing that King Jay did not do is say, you know what? God, you're sovereign. Whatever your will is going to happen. He said, no. This is a corporate crisis. We need corporate prayer. So he sent messengers out to the entire country saying, we want every single household represented in Jerusalem. And everyone from the entire country came to Jerusalem, not just to pray, but to fast. So you know it's serious. If I skip a meal, it's serious. All right? So this is not just to pray, this is to fast. Verse 5, then Jay stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? We have lived in it, and we have built it in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or a plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Verse 10, but now here are the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's the key to this. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know how to fix the government. We don't know how to fix the state. We don't know what to do with COVID-19. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. King Jay gathered the entire nation, and they seeked God, and they said, we really don't know what to do, but we know who you are, so our eyes are on you. Verse 13, all the men of Judah, with their wives and their children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jay, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Interesting. As they were in corporate prayer, God answered them in corporate prayer through a person. Very interesting. It said, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours. I think sometimes we treat the battle like it's ours. I remember during the election, I was listening to some people, and they thought the battle was theirs. I'm like, champion, sister, brother, the battle, you cannot do anything about it. You can vote, and that's about it, and pray. The battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against him. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge at the desert of Jeruel. Verse 17, you will not have to fight this battle. Praise God. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. All right, we don't have time to go into today, but if you look at the remaining verses, the army of Judah went out, they did exactly what the Lord told them to do, and all three of the armies started fighting themselves. They killed themselves. They didn't have to do anything. And the people of Judah stood there and watched as they fought themselves, they imploded, and then all they had to do was gather all the treasure, all the loot, all the stuff for 3 days. So not only did they not fight, but they got blessed. They got completely blessed. When we come to God with corporate issues in corporate prayer and say, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, God will do amazing things. God will do amazing things. And I think the battle for Judah was not actually fighting. It was making time for every single person in the nation to stop what they're doing and come together. Yeah. Like, think about that. Like, could you imagine if everyone, even in Tallahassee, came together for one day? Like, you know how much management, administration, and that would take? Do you know how many excuses they would have? The people of Judah were busy, right? They were probably, some were sick, some were on vacation, some were working, some were getting ready for weddings and funerals, right? They were busy. They were getting ready for school. They just needed some me time. They weren't a big fan of corporate prayer, right? But the miracle, the battle was, they had to get together, right? And so listen, the battle in corporate prayer is not actually when you pray. The battle is getting to prayer, getting to corporate prayer, right? There is not a week that goes by that I want to go to our prayer meetings. Not even one time. Not one time. But every time I go, I'm glad. And we're starting this Wednesday. I want to invite everyone here. Come at 7 o'clock. It's going to be right here. When we take time to come together, God answers. My gosh. Okay, so I don't know if anyone's ever been to a corporate prayer meeting. They can get weird real quick. Some of them are awesome. But my favorite is listening to the different type of prayers that people pray. So just a couple stereotypes. There's that one person who says, Father God, 10,000 times. Like, oh, Father God, we love you, Father God. I bless you, Father God. You are Father God, you know. It's like someone talking to me like, hey, Ben, what's going on, Ben? How's your day, Ben? You're Ben. I know. Or there's the long-winded prayer warrior, you know, who might as well open up the Bible to Genesis 1. And they just start praying, and like an hour passes, they're still praying. And they're just getting warmed up, right? Or there's the people that are praying, but they're really actually like giving a message to someone in like the circle, you know? You know, like they talked before, like, you know, oh, you're discouraged. Okay, oh, we'll pray about it. Lord, if anyone's discouraged here, Father, thank you that you are the encourager, you know? Father God, turn to Genesis 1. Lord, you said, anyway. But there's so many different prayer styles. And so I'm not going to lie. Prayer meetings for me are super uncomfortable sometimes. It takes a lot of patience. I feel like I need a prayer meeting to get fired up to go to the prayer meeting, right? It's like I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like patience, long-suffering, all the humility to even go to prayer meeting, right? Okay, I know I'm being a little dramatic, but if you're a pastor's son, you've been to 1,000 prayer meetings, right? It's just crazy. Anyway, 2,000 prayer meetings. That's right. But anyway, prayer meetings, we have to go, but there's a sacrifice that we have to have. I love individual prayer. Praise God. Actually, this morning I was preparing for, you know, just praying and asking God, like, God, you know, is my sermon ready? Is there anything else you want to, you know, speak to me? And the Lord's like, Ben, honestly, you're speaking about prayer. You have not been praying a whole lot recently. Oh, crap. So I went into my room, closed the door, turned the lights off, and just got some time with the Lord. It was so funny. But I loved it. It was great. The Holy Spirit was there. It was awesome. But sometimes in prayer meetings, I will go the whole time and really never feel those same feelings, right? And so let's transition to the New Testament. We're going to look at two New Testament examples of prayer. And we'll finish on a strong note. I'm a big fan of corporate prayer now, so we'll finish on a strong note. I just wanted to share some of my experiences, my hurts, my pains. I want to use this platform to talk about me for a little bit. Pastors have feelings too. All right, Acts 1, 13 through 14. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So this is in the first chapter of Acts, and this is they're waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, and I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And surprisingly enough, the gift of the Holy Spirit didn't come to each of them individually in their private prayers. It came to them when they were corporately gathered in prayer. Acts 4, 23 through 24. On their release, Peter and John from prison went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they had heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. So Peter and John did this amazing miracle, but they got thrown in jail. But as soon as they got released, they went back to their community and they prayed corporately. They thanked God corporately. So we see it obviously in the Old Testament with the people of Israel, but we also see it in the New Testament. Corporate prayer is a vital part of what God has called us to do. All right, so I got a couple points on corporate prayer. So the number one is we should pray for boldness, signs, and wonders. This is Acts 4, 29 through 30. And it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So as soon as they got persecuted, this is, Peter and John, they got thrown in jail, they got persecuted, the Lord delivered them, they went back, they started a prayer meeting, and what did they pray? They said, "God, the very same thing that we got thrown in jail for, help us do that more boldly. And Lord, help your signs and your wonders accompany." So they were in agreement, corporately praying for signs and wonders. Now, I don't know about y'all, but has anyone ever prayed, "Lord, help me operate in the gift of healing," or "Lord, help me have prophecy," or "Lord, help me have some of these gifts"? But they were praying as a church, saying, "God, help us boldly preach the gospel, boldly share, be a people," right? When you talk about the early church in the Bible, it's always the early church, not just the early individuals. It was the early church that changed the world, right? Paul is nothing without the church. Peter was nothing without the church. James, John, Andrew, they were nothing without the church. It was the power of the praying church, of the church community that rocked the world, that rocked the world. But we pray for boldness, signs, and wonders, and like we talked about last week, to do the will of the Lord, not to do our own private will. A lot of us, we really want God's personal destiny for our life, God's personal plan, but we'd never, or at least sometimes, we have a hard time praying for God's corporate plan for our life. Lord, what church have you called me to serve at? Lord, what church have you called me to pray with, to be with? We have corporate problems that we need corporate prayer for, and you are a part of that. Number two, we have to pray in agreement. This is difficult. Matthew 18 and 19. "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." I love this. God talks about agreement in prayer. Not just going to corporate prayer meeting and praying what's on your heart and hoping everyone agrees with you. You know, I wish it was like that. Let me just pray what I feel and y'all need to agree with me. Sometimes God calls me to prayer meetings where I'm not supposed to, you know, I'm not supposed to pray. I'm just supposed to agree with what's being prayed. And let's make sure that this, we're not, forgive me if I'm saying this is just about corporate prayer meetings. When we talk about corporate prayer, this is a lifestyle of praying together. AKA, I'm going through some issues. I'm going to call my brother up and we're going to pray together. Someone just lost someone that they really love. I'm going to go over and we're going to pray together. Someone just got a promotion. I'm going to go over and celebrate and pray and thank God with them. So this is not just Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. This is a corporate community that we are praying. We are doing spiritual formation together. Yesterday morning, myself, Garrett, and Trayvon, a guy we're discipling, we all ate breakfast together in my house, and then we had a Bible study. And we were praying out scripture, right? And we were trying to model this, that it's not private or personal, that there is an element that is public, community, and that we must do together, right? So this is not to guilt trip you to come into prayer meeting, okay? But this is to get you to think, okay, God, what prayer communally do you want me to be a part in? Do you want me to start a prayer meeting at my work? Do you want me to pray with my mom, with my dad, with my brothers, with my sisters, with my kids, right? I remember some of the coolest prayer meetings I've ever been a part of were our family prayer meetings around the kitchen table. We would pray That's really how I learned to pray, was as a family. But when we pray in agreement, this takes long suffering, it takes patience, and it takes humility. To agree with someone, to say, I'm going to let you have the space to pray and be heard. I'm just coming here to agree with what God's put on your heart. Right? It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of long suffering. Right? But God has something for us that when we humble ourselves and come together and say, I'm going to pray for your needs. I'm going to pray for what's on your heart. There's power in that. There's a lot of sanctification in that. Number three, we pray with structure. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So just like we come together in agreement, there's also structure. Now, I've been to some prayer meetings or prayed with some people, and one person's going this way, one person's going that way, and we kind of are just praying in the same room, but there's no structure. When you pray together, real good corporate prayer meetings, or even if it's just two or three people praying for something, praying for your family, there is always leadership, management, stewardship, intentionality, structure. Sometimes we do need to pray, Lord, whatever you put on my heart, let me pray. Sometimes, no. We need to gather, like King Jay said, and we need to pray for this national crisis. And I'm so sorry that you're going through this personal issue, but you need to pray and fast with us for this issue. It takes structure. King Jay did not say, okay, we're all going to gather, everyone pray whatever you want. He said, we're here, y'all are going to agree with me. I'm the king, I'm leading this prayer meeting. We are praying for this purpose. Corporate prayer takes management, leadership, structure. It's very interesting. In the Bible, Jesus only mentions church one time, but he mentions the kingdom of God hundreds of times. God is all about his kingdom, which has management, structure, authority. Same thing with corporate prayer. It's not a place where I can all the time necessarily experiment or try new things or get validated in what I want. Sometimes it's very much, I need to submit to the authority, whoever's leading this prayer meeting. Right? Does that make sense? And just a personal question. Are you the type of person that someone would call to pray for them? If not, we probably need to change a little bit. Are you the type of person that people can call and say, you know what, Cindy Westmark, I can call her because she will pray with me. Right? Amen. She absolutely will. Is this making sense? So corporate prayer really could be called corporate spiritual formation or corporate activities, but it's a vital part of not just the call for the church, but our calling. Our calling. Corporate prayer takes group humility, group trust, group dependence on God. And it's okay if at the end of a prayer meeting we say, God, we don't know what to do, but we look to you. We don't know what to do, but we look to you. And so what I'd like to do is instead of pray for you, I'd like us to have a moment of corporate prayer. Let's practice what we preach. So if I could have Rachel, if you want to come up and play some piano. And what we're going to do is I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but I'm inviting you to agree with me. And what I want to pray for is this semester what God has called us as a church to do. And so that's not just campus college students. That's families, that's businesses, that's the Capitol. And I want us to pray. And if any of our elders or pastors would like to come up and pray, please feel welcome if the Lord put something on your heart. But if we could dim the lights just a little bit, and Rachel, if you want to start playing, we're going to pray. And if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to lay down, you can lay down. Probably don't do that. Thank you, Father. If you have a heavenly language, I encourage you to pray in that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we come together in prayer before you. Lord, we don't know what to do, but we know we need you. Father, I pray as a church that we would come into agreement with your will. Father, you know we have personal problems and personal issues, Father, but I pray right now that you would help us be in agreement for the mission that you've called us to. Lord, this church, your church, is under attack by the pressures of the world, by mainstream media, by sin, by things that would try to rip us apart, by gossip, by slander. And Father, I pray right now that you would deliver us, Father, as a people, that as we come into agreement, Father, that you would push back the forces of evil on every nation, Tallahassee, Father. And Lord, I pray that this semester, Lord, that we would enter into the sweet spot of your will. And Lord, I pray that you would bring souls to know you, Father, on all three campuses, in the community, in the capital, in the corporations, in all the communities. Father, that you would bring people to you. And Lord, I pray that we would get out of your way and let your Holy Spirit move in this city. And Lord, I pray against the forces of evil that are coming against Tallahassee. Lord, you have called this city to be unique. You have called this city to be a place that has a center, a seat of leadership, Father. And I pray that you would push back evil, Father, so that your word would go forth and the gospel could go forth. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, against sickness, against disease that's trying to come against this church, against this city, against Florida, Father. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would intervene in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Brother Ed, do you have anything you want to pray?
Whole of that, like a scarlet cord or like a rope from heaven. I pray against the spirit of discouragement or even fear.
Yes, Lord.
We want to corporately break that off of the church, break that off of the body, break that off of me and you this morning. You understand? It'll sneak up on you. Or we'll just pray that the church will watch you guys. Watch what you say. Watch what you listen to. Watch who you let near your mind with your eye gate and your ear gate. Be very careful in the days ahead and going forward. We're in a war. They would like to blot out. The enemy would like to blot out Christianity. He would like to blot out exactly what we're doing right now. I heard a general praying recently. I was on a prayer call. The most powerful weapon system known to man, and I'm getting ready to listen to something coming from the general. The most powerful weapon system known to man is corporate prayer, is prayer. We get to be involved in that. We get to be, come on, man. We've been created for this moment, for this hour. Thank you, Father God, that we understand this. That we're suited up, we're not afraid. We got Ephesians 6, we got the armor on, we're bold, we're heading into battle. You know, we can't be defeated with the Spirit of God on board. We cannot be defeated. Don't give up. Father God, thank you for a spirit of encouragement coming on this 15th day of this 8th month. Lord, as we begin to, as Abby prayed this morning, and we prayed in corporate prayer in Pastor Ron's office. Here we go. We're shifting into a new day. Don't be afraid. I guess I keep saying that. Don't be afraid. Shift into the war. You're built for victory. The church is really going to shine in this new season. The church is really going to shine. You're part of it. You were handpicked for such a time as this. Father God, thank you for just being here today. Thank you for Ben and the word that went forth today. I guess he had a little bit left in the tank. Amen. Thank you for covering Pastor Ken as he fully recovers from that COVID. Thank you for being with Pastor Ron and son playing a little ball. I'm sure he's going to behave himself, not yell too much or holler at anybody. Maybe that's a stretch, but thank you for victories in our lives today. Thank you for a cool Sunday, no matter what the storms are doing, Fred, Grace, whatever's out there. Thank you for everything, Lord, in Jesus' name. You're awesome.
Father, I just thank you. I agree with Pastor Ben, his prayers. Father, I thank you, Lord, just for the purpose and the destiny that you called this church to corporately. I thank you, Father, for just this fresh anointing you're placing upon us for corporate prayer, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Father, for just a stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is coming upon us, Lord, as he read in Acts 4, Father, to do, Father, whatever your hand and your purpose has predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for just signs and wonders, for power to pour out on your people corporately here in this city, especially, Lord, to cover Governor DeSantis, Lord Jesus, to cover the political agendas, Lord, that take place in this city, Father, that govern this state, Lord, that are affecting our nation. And Father, I pray, Lord, that upon this church, Lord, and through the churches throughout our state and through our nation, Lord Jesus, and in the city, in our house, Lord, Father, that you would pour out your spirit in boldness to proclaim your word, Lord Jesus. Father, that we would have conviction. Father, that we would speak from your throne room, Lord Jesus, that we would speak in humility. Father, that you would back up your word with signs and wonders. Father, that you'd give us words of knowledge, Lord, that as we would listen to people, we would say, this is what they're really saying in their hearts. And you would give us words of wisdom and knowledge to speak into the hearts of men and women. Father, we can take the kingdom forward, Lord, one person at a time. And Father, we are each capable of testifying to what you have done in our lives. And so, Father, we just agree for your Holy Spirit to come upon our church and our church members, Father, in a new, unprecedented outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We have heard of the glories that have happened in this city in the past. But Father, we're not living in the past. We are walking forward and we are ready for the harvest. Lord, you have prophesied that there would be a harvest that would be coming this fall. And Lord, we put out our hands as laborers. We put out our baskets, our homes, Father, to host and to do one-to-ones, Father, and to do small group Bible study and to do prayer meetings and, Father, to be spontaneous and be led by your Spirit. And we offer ourselves, Father, a sacrifice, as a sacrifice of praise, as a sacrifice of worship, as a sacrifice of service into this community. Father, we have looked inward, but Father, now we choose to look upward and to look outward, Father, and extend the kingdom of God through our lives. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, that today, Father, today is the beginning of a new day for Tallahassee, Every Nation Tallahassee Church. Today is the beginning of a new day in each of our lives personally, Lord, as we take a hold of what you are doing corporately. And Father, I pray that you would even begin to release, Father, just a willingness in the hearts of your people to individually or as families or in different ways to fast, Father, for this nation and for this city and for this outpouring in the name of Jesus.
I love the last two messages that Ben has given on individual prayer and corporate prayer. And I think they've been so powerful and so great. And I was reading through a blog one time on prayer, and the person who was writing the blog basically said, you know, Ephesians 6 says that we have the armor of God and our sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he was talking about, you know, pray every day that God would give you a sword to wield in the Spirit, which you wield through prayer, meaning give you a word or a scripture from his word. And so I think it's so powerful when we can take that sword and often, daily, and in all things and in all times, use it and wield it offensively against the enemy and wield it defensively when the enemy is coming after you. Some days I'm really mad and I point my sword of the Spirit at the devil and I go, I'm coming after you because I'm mad. And some days he's raging at me and coming after me and I'm having to fight off his blows, all with the word of God in prayer. And so I stand with all the prayers lifted up today and I declare the power, the living, powerful word of God for us as a body and for our lives. And I'm going to pray what Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 13. My dear friends, us, spiritual family here in Every Nation Tallahassee, and those who could not be here today and this city, I pray that we would remain strong and not be discouraged or ashamed by all that we are suffering, all that we are going through, all that happens to us because we declare the name of Jesus Christ, for it is for our glory in him. So I kneel humbly. We come humbly this morning in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that Christ would unveil within each one of us the unlimited riches of his glory, his power, his favor, his authority, until supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit floods our innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. And that by constantly using our faith in Jesus Christ, he would be released deep within, inside of each one of us. And the love of God the Father would be our resting place. And it would become the very source and root of our life today. So Lord, I am asking you to come. I'm asking you to release your power. I'm asking you to encourage us, to strengthen us, to anoint us, to equip us, to empower us for such a time as this. No matter where we are going, no matter what we are doing, let your kingdom come in our lives. Let your will be done in our lives, through our lives, and for our lives, for your glory, so that your name can be made great when people look at us. I thank you for this body. I thank you for my family in the natural and in the spirit. I thank you that you do not leave us and that you do not forsake us. I thank you that you say great is the hope that we have in you. I thank you that you say great are the plans that you have for us as a church and for our families and for our lives. Plans to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future. Plans for good and not for harm all the days of our lives. Let it be. We declare your word as a blessing over this house today. There is enough in the world that is cursing us and coming at us every single day, whether individually, our lives, our families, our churches, our city. But today we speak blessing and we speak life and we speak the kingdom of God be released in us, be released through us, and be released for us, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, I'd like Adam to close us in prayer, but I don't know if you guys noticed, but we just tricked you guys into a little 15-minute prayer meeting. That wasn't so bad, right? That was pretty fun. Okay, so Adam, would you pray for us as we close?
Sure. So Ben thinks in semesters, I think in quarters.
Right.
So, you know, for the third and fourth quarter for us in the marketplace, same with semesters, is, you know, I just see it as a matter of obedience. You know, we have to be ready to be obedient. If you feel like this is a chore for you, don't show up. You're not ready yet. You know, not all of us are our own time. You know, some of us are a little early. Some of us might be a little late. But when you hear that call and you understand that it's your time, step up and take a swing. You know, just be prepared. I think in Titus we have this wall of fame of all the pro athletes that have come through. I think of this church as you know, if you put up here all the missionaries and churches that have been sent out, I mean, it would be incredible, this wall of fame here. So, and it all starts with a small group of really committed individuals, and the corporate prayer is huge. When I go on mission trips with Franco to Cuba or Colombia or Peru, you talk about prayer meetings. I mean, it's like, are we going to eat? Or are we just going to pray the whole week, you know? And it is really powerful, though, because you know, I mean, I've even been to Cuba where, you know, two guys pulled up in one of those motorcycles and a sidecar. I'd never really seen one, a sidecar. I'm like, that's cool. These guys get out, and I hear them speaking in Spanish, and, you know, they said, yeah, these guys are getting ready to defect tomorrow on a raft to the U.S. I'm like, no, that's intense, you know. So we start praying over these two guys. We're like, hey, man, good luck, you know. Go get them tomorrow. You know, these guys are, like, escaping from, you know, Cuba, communist Cuba. But that's the power of prayer. They were confident leaving that meeting. And I felt a lot more confident for them as well, because I'm going, man, this is, when you realize you're battling in the spiritual domain, you better be praying. If you think you're going to figure it out in the natural, man, you are way off. So I want to encourage you guys to be here on Wednesday. I think that's going to be important. And to continue, you know, stepping up when it's your turn to pray. You know, God's speaking through you. Other people need to hear that. It's really not about you. So, Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for giving Ben the opportunity, Lord, to speak and to communicate. Thank you for the leaders in this church that, Lord, you have produced a stable of leaders and leaders amongst leaders and mentors and folks that are supposed to be sent and folks that are supposed to be under guidance, Lord, for your purpose. And, Lord, thank you for the power of corporate prayer and agreement. Lord, weapons that you have given us here on this earth, Lord, we're not supposed to understand it. We're always looking for things that we can understand because those are things that we can command. But that is not how you work. You work in the supernatural. And Lord, just help us just to be a little better at understanding that and relying on that and living in that. And Lord, thank you for us coming together. Thank you for the energy and enthusiasm that we have towards your, Lord, your nuances and understanding your word in a deeper way. And Lord, we just pray for this week that it's full of power, full of excellence, full of obedience. And Lord, thank you for the families and people represented here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, thank you, Adam. Can we stand as we close, please? We can turn the lights up. All right, well, thank you for being here this morning. We hope you have a fantastic week. If you need prayer, we do want to stand with you. So our prayer team will be up here after the service, so please come up and get prayer. But if not, have a fantastic week. We hope to see you on Wednesday and then also next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great day.